I'm speaking today with Vidal Martinez and former Houston City Council member John Castillo, and the subject is the lawsuit for which Mr. Martinez is one of the plaintiffs, one of the attorneys, not one of the plaintiffs, to force the City of Houston to redraw City Council lines and add two districts. So my first question to Mr. Martinez is, why did you file this lawsuit?
The lawsuit was filed in response to the original discussion looking at an interim council member for District H. And in that discussion of why we did not have a council member for 6 months or so, ran into the city charter. And the city charter has a requirement from a 1979 Department of Justice court order and an agreed judgment with the City of Houston to create two more additional council seats when we reach 2.1 million. After looking at the city's own legal documents and the city's own representations of our population, it's pretty clear that they are certifying 2.1 million as late as 2006. So the city, this was a discussion with City Council, and I appeared before City Council to discuss both the District H appointment of an interim council member, and by the way, we need two more council seats out there, and you need to get in the business of creating them. They are not dependent upon a census. The census is some data to be used, but they are not dependent on a census. And former council member Castillo, was the one that negotiated that, and it has specifically that all available data can be used for it. And in today's times, we have that data now.
Let me ask you then, Mr. Castillo, in that settlement, was there something that was going to be used as a deciding factor for when the 2.1 million figure had been reached? Or, was there something that acted like as a trigger, for example? Or was it kind of up to the city to say, oh, by the way, we've reached 2.1 million? How is that supposed to work?
Well, the whole matter was deliberated between the plaintiff's attorneys and the court and the Justice Department. My job, what I did, was to go in and look at the data that was available then and there, showed that there was a way to create two districts instead of one district representing District H, which is sort of the northwest part of the heart of Houston. The Justice Department had a hearing before Justice David Hittner, Judge David Hittner, and it was so close to the election day of November of that year that it wasn't humanly possible to get everything set and have the early voting and everything else that goes, voter registrations and all of that. And so the arrangement or the plan that was adopted or sanctioned or imposed, whichever way you want to call it, by the Justice Department was that arrangement or that plan would be implemented whenever it became when population reached 2.1 million. And I would suppose that the thinking was that there is all kind of statistical information that's generated by private entities, universities, population centers like A&M universities, and so that would not be a problem when it came time to doing those districts. Because you not only have to reach the overall increase of population up to 2.1 million, but then you had to know the distribution of the various minorities. And I know that there are people that generate that kind of information or analysis and then make it available to the private sector. So if it's good enough for the private sector, it ought to be good enough for creating a census map.
So
an irony here in that is that in 1979, when the city was settling the case, it was settling it on 1970 census information and all the updated information then. It's the exact argument today.
Well, except that the argument has also been made that the job they did in 1979 was inaccurate because it was using 1970 census data, and then when the 1980 census came out, they said they had to make corrections. Do you think that's an issue here?
No.
What data should we be using if we can't rely solely on the census data?
In 30 years, it's gotten a lot more sophisticated. You have retailers that can tell you where people are living. They break it down by school records, they break it down by income, by population, by size, by ethnic background, you can go to postal records. You have an abundance of information available right now to be able to tell where everybody is and how to redistrict. Redistrict, the census gives us that every 10 years, but there is available information. And some of these retailers, it's very accurate because the decisions that they've made, they've gone back and spot checked some of the decisions and the information that they've been given with the census that came out. Some of them are dead on. And so you have the availability of these retailers and the information and the people that conglomerate this information and sell it. These packages, this information is being sold all over the country to everyone who's in the catalog business and the internet business and the retail business, and it's available now. And you don't just use the census. And the mystery of all this is that the census, when it comes out, will be the panacea of all this information. That information is already out there. They're a gatherer of the same information, and it becomes public information then. It's not proprietary. But there's enough information out there now to be able to draw those lines and to be able to tell what the proper cities are. We've never had a problem with redistricting afterwards. I mean, we have had an issue come up in the 90s where we tried to have some more the geographic location, and that suit was lost at the U.S. Supreme Court. And so the information exists today, it's available, and the city just doesn't want to go through the exercise, the very difficult exercise, of adjusting and balancing the city.
Do you believe that this could be done in time for the elections this year? I mean, since it was the vacancy in H that was in some sense the catalyst for all this, I mean, that election is in May. Can this be, you know,
it might
what,
be,
what
it
happens
might be
with that?
The Department of Justice hasn't decided what they're going to do yet. Okay. Technically, once you file a Section 5 Voting Rights Act case violation, the Department of Justice reviews it, and they may stop all elections until the city complies with the order.
Isn't that kind of ironic, then, leaving H open, you know, for this
no.
to go forward?
The answer to the question, no, they can do it. If you get enough people pulling the same wagon, instead of fighting each other about the issue or whether they should do it, once everyone decides that they should do it, everyone can come together and you can knock this thing out in fairly short order, in time for both the May election and the November election.
Okay. A question for both of you. What do you see as the ideal solution? Not just getting it done, but in terms of what a map would look like after the you know, demographic data is gathered, we figure out where everybody lives, you know, we draw two more districts. Is the goal just to apportion the population more evenly, or is the goal ultimately greater representation among minority populations on city council?
The goal is greater representation of minority populations on city council. The city is now running a $3.5 billion budget a year. The districts have gotten too big, they're out of balance. Some are over 300,000, moving towards 400,000, and some are less than 200. We're out of balance. And what occurs is that local district council member is the person, he or she is the person that actually is taking care of distributing city services and also fighting for their district, for the funding, for all sorts of CIP issues that are going on, for projects that district needs. You do not have that right now. You have a complete imbalance where you have some people on the west side that have huge areas right now, huge population, and they like it that way, by the way. They like it that they don't want to see that their district disturbed. So everyone has a vested interest in what they know at this very moment. The problem is the Voting Rights Act doesn't give you the chance to keep that practice in place. And Texas is one of the states that has every election subject to the Section 5 Voting Rights Act requirements, a preclearance, because of our past conduct. And our past conduct is coming back again in this particular season, if you will, to show that nobody really wants to move. they don't want to do it, and the Department of Justice is probably going to have a real hard look at this.
Do you have anything to add to that, Mr. Castillo?
I think that there's a higher principle at stake here, and that is that there was an agreement between the city and the Justice Department for the city to keep the governance responsibility and be working towards making the census distribution more appropriate, because we were able to do a plan that had two Hispanic districts in that area of the city and not just one. And so there was an agreement. It was written into the city charter at the request of the Justice Department, and there was an agreement on both sides. And I don't think that any one individual, either a party or not a party to the suit, that can unilaterally say, well, it's too inconvenient, we don't have enough data, why don't we just blow it off? I don't believe that that's how the law works. And secondly, the one population, the community that's being hurt or that's being aggravated is the Hispanic community, because we have the largest segment, the fastest growing segment, and the only growing segment of the population is the Hispanic community, and it's not getting the representation that it requires and that it deserves. And who is to say that it's gotten too difficult, why don't we just give it up? And so it needs to be heard in open court, and both sides present their grievance and their requirements, and let the best argument prevail.
Talking about the issue of minority, in particular Latino representation in the city, and you're right that, of course, that's the fastest growing segment of the population.
Every 10 years.
But, kind of the irony is that Latinos don't vote in any number that's proportional to their share of the population. I was looking through some archives in preparation for this, and I came across something that said that in the 2003 mayoral race, Latinos were something like 12% of the voting population, or they cast 12% of the votes in that election. So, what should it be? Or should representation be proportional to how many people there are, or should it be proportional to how many people vote? It
should not be on how many people vote. It should be based upon the population itself and the makeup of the population. But you almost just made the case for a low vote. Ask yourself why the low voting percentages, because we only have two council members out there. If you had four, you'd have more of the Hispanics out there. If you had a congressional seat that Hispanics could win, you'd have more vote out there. It's not, you're doing a chicken and egg here. You don't go and just say, well, let's go create a district for the voters to vote. You create a district so that you can vote and that you have a meaningful vote, and you have one that you can actually elect somebody that understands the issues of that area, whatever that area is. You've just described the exact problem. And the reason we haven't had it is because we haven't had, ask yourself why a city this size doesn't have a Hispanic congressman, and we have two African-American congresspersons.
Well,
there's an example of why that doesn't happen. But the voting, by the way, the age pattern is changing also. You see the set point moving up
sure.
on the median age, and it's moving as rapidly as the population is growing. The set point of the median age is also moving up, and it's now creeping up towards 16, 17, 18, 19. The population growth is all being young children, not old citizens have moved in. And that wave is coming through.
It was made clear during this last presidential election that so many people that had never voted before voted in my precinct 218, which is in the east side of the city, has always had a very less than it should turnout for presidential elections. And this time, at 9 o'clock at night, there were people still in line waiting to vote, Latinos in the East End, in the precinct convention, which is held after the voting is concluded, had 900 people in the convention when it's usually 7 people. And why 900? Obama didn't spend a lot of money in Texas, didn't pay any organizers. We were all volunteers. But people saw something that got their attention and got to their heartstrings, and they turned out. And, you know, we had to run them out to close the schools because they had to clean them for school the next day. I mean, the next Monday. And so if you provide the opportunity and you don't have a government or part of the government that is dissuading people from voting, that is making it difficult to vote, that is making it difficult to vote early, where the other party has people going through the voting line that's waiting and asking, are you a citizen? And that goes around. And before you know it, people start leaving the line. They didn't this time, they stayed.
Okay. I mean, I guess the next question I would have is, you know, isn't it a little limiting, though, just to focus on the district representation? I mean, in this cycle, there's going to be 2 at-large city council seats that will be open with Peter Brown running for mayor. I've yet to hear of a single Latino being mentioned as a possible candidate for either of these seats. Why aren't there more Latinos running citywide?
Not everybody can afford $3 million to run a citywide race.
It doesn't necessarily cost that much for an at-large city council race, though.
You want to play. That's what it takes.
I mean, even in 2007, you know, there was a runoff for at-large number 5 between Jolanda Jones and Joe Trevino, and, you know, nobody came out and voted for Trevino. You know, that was wasn't that a missed opportunity? Why isn't there greater participation in the citywide races?
Well, we've had Hispanics that had at-large seats. Orlando Sanchez was at-large.
Mm-hmm.
Gracie Sines was at-large also. And so there have been instances of that occurring. You're going to see a lot that the new youngsters that are coming up are brighter, faster, and smarter than we were. And you're seeing a great, just take a look at our contingent up in Austin now. That's a very good group of state representatives that are up there now, with Carol Alvarado and Armando Wally and Jessica Farrar. I mean, it's a...
Anna Hernandez.
And Anna Hernandez. It's a strong group up there. Those, the younger lead, the people that gain ground around here by the inch and the angstrom are watching these youngsters take off on those runways that were built. And they're going, the community will provide the leadership as more and more of these opportunities arise. The community will be there, and you'll see more candidates coming. It's really too early in February for everyone to see exactly what the dynamics are going forward. But I think you will see several candidates out there by the time November rolls around. Remember, the filing deadline's not till the end of August.
Yeah. If tomorrow the city comes to you and says, you're right, we'll take this up now, what should that process be? How should that work?
Well, the process begins with the planning department. They're the ones that are responsible for aggregating or accumulating the data and using the I forget what they're calling them. It's the interim samples that are taken between the decennial censuses, and they're used to update the existing census data, and they do it. It's done, and because the growth is basically focused on the Latino community, if you get that anywhere right, the rest of it will, the difference, the error will be smaller, because you've got the biggest segment accounted for.
I mean, I guess my question, as much as anything, is, you know, who is actually responsible for drawing the map? Does the mayor name a committee? How does that work?
Planning department.
That's not important.
They present the optimum plan and any other.
They plans. Being
the planning department.
Planning department.
The city. Get paid a lot of money.
Okay. All right.
Well, they not only get paid a lot of money, they hire the best demographers that money can buy.
And that's who would produce the map. Okay. Is there anything you'd like to add to wrap up?
No, the situation in 1979 literally had Mr. Castillo with the pen in his hand, the drawing hand, and he was the one, that map is the one that we have today. And so once you get everyone pulling the same wagon in the same direction, you will see the process settle in. The information, the input will come from all different directions. You have to get the demographic input first. Then it's the political decisions that have to be made, and then the presentation to the Department of Justice. That's the order of things. And right now, they're saying that you can't get the information at the very basic first step, and that's false. It's not just wrong, it's false, and they know it. They don't want to go through the political exercise of trying to adjust and rebalance the city. And why should the Hispanic community have to wait? This is not going to be something that 2010 census won't have the information out for at least mid-2011. And then what are we supposed to do? Have that discussion then? With the same information that we have now, available to us now? We do have that information. And you can't say that it's too old, because the last time 30 years ago that the city did it, that was the same time period. We're talking about the same time frame. Ask yourself why the city was willing to do it in 1979 based upon all the available information back then, and they don't want to do it now. Okay. Who's playing keep away?
I think the other, I shouldn't say problem, it's a condition, let's call it, of the city council, and that is that term limits have diluted the institutional memory on city council. People don't remember how things are made, how things are done. They've never been through a census. They've never participated in an enumeration exercise. And so you're leaving it up to the paid hands that the city hires. And so there's very little community involvement. At least I anticipate that there would be less involvement by the city council, because they just haven't done it before and they haven't been there. Term limits, when it was adopted by vote, ensured the dumbing down of city council in general.
All right, Vidal Martinez and John Castillo, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Welcome.
You're welcome.